Okay, let's unpack this. For years, we've heard the European Union champion this idea of digital sovereignty. This, you know, bold idea that Europe has to control its own digital destiny, that it can't be so reliant on US or Chinese tech giants.
Right. It's a goal that sounds, well, it sounds great. Very ambitious.
But what if the very strategy they're using to get there isn't just failing? What if it's actually making things worse?
And that is the crucial, the really complex conflict we're diving into today.
Mm-hmm.
Our insights are drawn directly from Rob Van Linde's analysis, and he argues pretty forcefully that Europe's whole regulatory strategy is just an illusion of control.
An illusion.
Yeah. The central claim he makes is, well, it's dark, is that the digital colonization is proceeding exactly as planned.
How?
Because Europe's governing bodies are choosing, and this is his phrase, reaction over creation.
So that's our mission today. We really want to get inside this argument that Europe is undergoing a kind of digital colonization.
Yeah.
And to figure out why its chosen path, you know, using regulation to achieve sovereignty, might be so counterproductive.
And the analysis doesn't really ease you into it. It just...
Yeah.
It slams you right into a concrete example.
Yeah, that's right. The $5.5 billion investment.
By Google. Into Germany.
Which, on the surface, sounds like a huge win. Jobs, investment.
Of course. But the source material, it labels it a Trojan horse.
A Trojan horse. I mean, that's such an aggressive metaphor for a capital investment. Why?
Well, because politically, it looks fantastic. But from a strategic, sovereign point of view, the analysis says it's a sign of failure.
A failure to do what?
A failure to build its own competitive, large-scale digital backbone. When you let a foreign company become the absolute foundation of your critical infrastructure, you've already given up strategic control.
So the money isn't for Europe's own infrastructure?
No. It's the price of importing it. It's proof that there was a strategic vacuum.
And that vacuum gets filled.
Exactly. It gets filled efficiently and legally by foreign entities that just operated at a scale Europe wasn't prepared to match. And that's really the starting point for understanding this whole digital colonization idea.
Which brings us to this core diagnosis in the material. Digital naivety. It describes this crisis that's unfolding, not like a big shock, but more like a slow motion surrender.
A crippling inertia is the term used. It feels like the political class gets the threat on an intellectual level.
Sure.
But they just can't translate that into fast structural action.
It seems the frustration in the material isn't about a lack of intelligence, but more a lack of political will, a will to take big risks.
That's it. Digital sovereignty requires massive, often really high-risk investment in foundational tech. We're talking chips, operating systems, huge data centers.
Things that aren't flashy ribbon-cutting ceremonies.
Exactly. For many European governments, which are built on consensus and social stability, these huge winner-take-all tech bets, they just feel unnatural.
That's a really interesting point. Building a bridge is visible, politically safe. Building a cloud architecture that might be obsolete in 5 years, that's a much harder sell.
And that's the disconnect. It's a crisis of perception. The material even cites this.
Mm-hmm.
This really damning political headline to capture the mood.
What was it?
In Berlin, Streit, der Gipfel, der Naivität.
The summit of naivety is rising in Berlin.
Yeah. It just underscores this idea that the political machine doesn't get the speed of the game. They're acting like they have decades when the whole landscape shifts in what, a year? 18 months?
So they see the problem, they see the dependence, but their instinct isn't to build.
No, their instinct is bureaucracy. And that leads us straight into what the source calls the regulatory trap. We see the headlines all the time, right? The EU is finally taking the cloud market into its sights.
Right, or drafting new rules for AI.
But the analysis points out the critical flaw here. The political response to digital dependence is not to build the local data centers, the European operating system.
It's to create more rules and laws.
It's the ultimate policy substitution. You swap the hard, expensive work of creation for the politically easier work of control. The material actually lays this out as a clear two-step strategy.
Okay, walk us through that, the two steps.
Step one, Europe's caution and slowness let foreign companies, mostly from the U.S., get huge.
Yeah.
They become completely indispensable. They become the plumbing of the internet.
And step two.
Once they're totally entrenched, then European governments try to claw back control by piling on layers of rigid regulations. You know, GDPR, the DSA, new cloud rules.
It sounds like they're trying to set the rules for a game that's already over.
That is exactly the implication. It's an attempt to retroactively manage entities they failed to compete with in the first place. The analysis is blunt here. It calls this the negotiation of the terms of our colonization, not the building of the ramparts of our independence.
But hold on a second. Isn't some protection better than nothing? I mean, GDPR, the DSA, they are globally influential. They force these giants to respect European values on privacy. Is the source maybe being a little too cynical here?
And that's a really crucial counterpoint. The positive impact on consumer rights is undeniable. But the critique isn't about the intent of the rules.
It's about the outcome.
It's about the structural economic outcome. Regulation can control behavior, for sure. But it doesn't build power. It's treating the symptom, say, a foreign company misusing data, but it completely ignores the disease, which is Europe's inability to create a competitive alternative in the first place.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because you have to compare the strategies. How did the digital empires, the US and China, build their power?
They build it on what the source calls the non-negotiables: infrastructure, speed, and capital.
Innovate first, ask permission later.
That's the philosophy. They're built for speed and scale.
While Europe is focused on the details of regulation, and this gets us to what the source says is the core fatal flaw:
confusing compliance with competitiveness.
Explain that.
The focus of European policy is laser sharp on one thing: making the existing giants, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, comply with the rules.
Okay.
But the focus is not on the missing piece. How do we make a European alternative better, faster, more trusted? They're so busy policing the current system, they forget to plant the seeds for the next one.
And this creates a paradox.
A catastrophic one. It creates a massive structural disadvantage. Think about it like this. Every new rule makes life maybe marginally harder for a giant like Microsoft.
Sure, they hire a few more lawyers in Brussels.
Right. But now think about that 20-person German cloud startup. That one new rule for them isn't a marginal cost. It's an exponential one. It could be the thing that sinks them.
Because Microsoft can absorb the cost of 100 lawyers, but the startup can't even afford one full-time compliance officer.
Precisely. The cost of compliance is fixed, which means it's a huge burden for a small company. So by prioritizing this control over creation, you're actually building these huge barriers to entry for your own innovators.
Wow. So the system is, in effect, regulating its own potential competition out of existence before it can even get started.
It creates an incredibly unattractive environment for venture capital. If you're an investor, you look at a U.S. startup that can scale fast in one big market.
Yeah.
And then you look at a European one that has to spend a third of its funding on lawyers. Which one are you going to bet on?
The choice is obvious.
The regulatory system, which was designed to create sovereignty, accidentally ensures the foreign giants never face a real European challenger.
And the source has a really strong line to drive this home.
It's very explicit. Rules do not build cloud architecture, they don't build AI, and they certainly don't reverse a multi-billion dollar strategic investment. Only bold, proactive creation can do that.
Which brings us to the crossroads, right? The choice that the source material lays out for Europe, either continue down this politically safe path of just reacting with more regulations, always playing catch up, or
embrace the really hard work of becoming architects of your own digital destiny. And that requires a completely different political mindset.
So the solution isn't more committees, more reports.
No. The solution, according to this analysis, isn't more paper. It's more servers, more engineers. It's a political mandate that actually prioritizes European innovation, even with all the risk that comes with it.
It's a pivot from policing the platforms of others to building our own.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And until that fundamental focus shifts from, you know, negotiation to actual creation, this digital colonization will just be the reality. You can't regulate your way into a game that's won on speed and capital.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener?
Well, the main takeaway here seems to be that digital independence, it's not something you achieve just through defensive bureaucratic control. It needs structural investment. It needs a culture of creation.
It means you have to understand this core conflict. The global tech leaders play a game of speed and scale. Europe is playing a game of regulation and compliance. And the hidden cost of that choice is borne by its own innovators.
It really forces you to ask a tough question. If Europe's strategy makes it exponentially harder for a European startup to compete, how do you even define sovereignty?
Right.
I mean, what is sovereignty if your own rules prevent a domestic champion from ever emerging in the first place? That's definitely something to mull over.
Indeed. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive.
We'll catch you next time.